Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody. We are in 6 a.m. So we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 today. And Nicole, whenever you're ready, go ahead and read and then we'll jump in.
Okay, good morning. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading from the NIV version. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Amen.
All right, thank you, Nicole. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this chapter. And Father, as we look into it now, we pray that you would just give us divine revelation, that you would give us insight, not just for today, but for our lives. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Nicole, for reading. So a little background to 1 Thessalonians. This is one of Paul's earliest letters written around AD 50, 51. So, you know, somewhere around maybe 20 years after Paul's, you know, a little less than 20 years after Paul's conversion, Paul, along with Silas and Timothy, wrote these letters to the believers in Thessalonica, which is a major city in the north of Greece. Was the Roman province of Macedonia. There's a little historical context. The church in Thessalonica was established around Paul's second missionary journey. So he preached in the synagogue for several Sabbaths, and a lot of Jews and a large number of God-fearing Greeks came to Christ at that time. There was a lot of opposition. Yeah, specifically from Jews. And Paul and his companions had to flee the city at some point. And the city was a strategic point along the trade routes. So a lot of diversity, culturally diverse in a very political significant city, and of course a lot of idolatry. And that's where a lot of the persecution came from, for turning away from these pagan practices. So, a couple of key themes we'll look at here. As I looked at it, several words jumped out. There's community, gratitude, the fact that we are chosen, we are to be imitators. And then finally, hoping Christ return. So it is a short verse, but there's some good stuff we can take out of this. Okay, so let's jump right in here. So let's talk about community. And in verse one, Paul reminds us that the faith journey is not meant to be lived in isolation, but in community. And I think we all know that. And so often, I hear from people who say, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm burning out. I'm going to take a break from the church and serving, where in fact, that's exactly the wrong thing to do, right? We need to push into our faith community as iron sharpens iron. So, community is very important. Paul is also reminding us to be a part of what the church is doing, right? So when we're in community, we can do so much more together to build the kingdom. So community is a key part. And then Paul goes on in verse two, and he's talking about gratitude. And Paul and Silas, they express deep gratitude for the Thessalonian believers, emphasizing their faith, love, and hope in Jesus Christ. So I think it's something we don't do enough, this idea of expressing thankfulness for fellow believers, things we see them do, the way they live their lives, how they reflect God in everything they do. And there's something to be said about being thankful and expressing it. And for those of you who've done the assessments that we spoke about, I don't know, a while back now, maybe last year, February, one of the assessments is spiritual gifts. Not spiritual, or is spiritual gifts, but another one is the five love languages. And for many people, words of affirmation is the way that they get filled up. So expressing gratitude is a key spiritual practice. So expressing our thankfulness for others and things they're doing is very important, and it helps build the community of faith. Now, gratitude is also a key spiritual practice, and I believe Pastor Brendan had a great sermon on this recently. And the focus should always be on what we have and not what we don't have, right? Because we tend to focus on what we don't have. What does gratitude look like as a key spiritual practice? It means praying with thanks for specific people, for the things we have. It means recognizing God's work in others. When we express our gratitude and thanks, often it's a boost to us as we remember what God is doing. So it's a way to encourage, but it's also a way to remember what God is doing. And actually kind of give us a boost, as we do that. Okay, so Paul talks about in verse 2-3, he says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love. and your endurance inspired by hope. That verse in itself is tremendous. And so it starts with faith, which is driven by love. So faith produces work. So true faith leads to action, right? Showing that belief is not passive, but it's transformative. Love prompts labor, right? So love motivates sacrificial service. So how do we serve others? Maybe sacrificially. So it's, and he talks about endurance. So this love is more than just sentimental. It's active and it has perseverance. And he says hope inspires endurance. So hope in Christ sustains us through those hard times with trials. It gives us the strength to press on with confidence and endurance. Why? Because we know what God's promises are, right? God is love, God is light, God is with us. He is our help in times of trouble. It goes on and on and on. And so we need to know who God is so that we can have that confidence and endurance in tough times. All right, so question here. Let me just do this for a second. As we talk about gratitude, thankfulness. Who have you noticed who is growing in the faith or making an impact in the kingdom? And how can you encourage them this week? What can you do? Is there a note you can write, send a text just to say, hey, I see you. I see how you're living your life. I see how you serve, whatever it is, who can you encourage this week? It could have a massive impact more than you can imagine. All right, so the second point I have here is this idea of being chosen. And Paul says, well, we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Because the gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. So we have been reminded that God initiates salvation for us, or did that, because of His love for us and His sovereign will. It's a free gift that we are given. And so again, he reminds us that we are loved and chosen by God. We are adopted into His family. When we follow Jesus, choose Him, we become heirs in His kingdom, right? We have this eternal promise of heaven and eternity with Him. And so it reminds us that we are His chosen people. We are loved, we are adopted, we are heirs. And so Paul says, because of that, be authentic, right? So he highlights the way that he and his companions lived, and they lived this authentic Christian life. Verse 7, he says, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So this idea of recognizing that we are chosen, and so live authentically in that identity that we have in Christ. So model a life that is aligned with the gospel. Their lives reflected what they preach, right? So there was no contradiction. It was clear by the way they lived that they were Christ followers. And so then he talks about the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work. So the deep conviction the Thessalonians experienced showed that the Holy Spirit was at work in their hearts, in their lives, confirming the truth of the gospel and enabling faith to take root. So Application here. So, as we walk in our spiritual journey, we should seek to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives so that we can rely on Him for transformation and growth and what to do, right? How to act, and what are the things that the Holy Spirit's prompting us to do. So, the Holy Spirit is a key factor in living this life where we are remembering we are chosen, but being authentic witnesses in the things we do. Which brings us into one of the next key themes here, which is this idea of being imitators, right? So, imitation of godly examples. And so the believers, the Thessalonian believers, modeled their lives after what they had seen in Paul, Silas, Timothy, who modeled their lives after Christ himself, right? So godly believers who reflect Christ-like character are key as we imitate Christ so that others can discover who Jesus is, right? So we grow in faith by observing and imitating mature believers who are rooted in scripture and living out the gospel. So the question is, who are you imitating? Are you imitating those who are mature believers who are rooted in scripture, who are living lives modeled by their belief in Christ, right? So now, one of the things he says is, verse 6, he says, "You became imitators of us and the Lord," right? Because Paul, Timothy, and Silas, their lives were driven by the tenets of the faith established in Jesus Christ. And then he says, "For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." So, is life always going to be easy? Absolutely not. These guys were suffering. This is a very paganistic society. Different belief systems, idol worship, all kinds of things going on. Ahab on the travel and trade routes. And so just all these things going on. And so they find themselves as the minority who are different. And so suffering becomes a normal thing for them. So, despite severe suffering, the Thessalonians welcomed the gospel with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And again, we see the importance of the Holy Spirit here. So the Holy Spirit is key to be able to have joy, even in tough times. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the source of power, right? He is the gift giver. And so, tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit is key, especially in these tough situations. And I think one of the key things that he's trying to say here is our response to trials may be one of the best witnesses to others when we respond in a positive way, right? So, do we run or do we push into Jesus? Do we adapt to the society behind us or next to us and compromise? Or do we stay true to the teachings of Jesus when things get tough? So the key is allowing the Holy Spirit's power to be evident in our lives. So I guess a question here is, What do you need to have joy in challenging circumstances? What do you need to do? What do you need to stop doing? How can you tap into the Holy Spirit's power, especially in those challenging times? And are you clear on what your identity is in Christ in times of tough? Because I think that's the time when you really need to know that, hey, I am Christ's special creation. I'm loved by him, especially when times get tough. And so, you know, the way we act, the way we live out our faith has a ripple effect, right? So in verse 8, he says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. So their faithfulness has had this ripple effect, has had a witness which had become known everywhere, showing that your faith can have a far-reaching impact, far beyond maybe even your direct situation. And so just allow that to be an inspiration to you, that your faith, your small act of kindness, gratitude, whatever it is, the words you speak, you may be planting a seed of faith that will sprout and blossom far beyond your imagination, right? So your faithfulness can have a far-reaching impact, and you may never know what that impact is, but it's so important for us to stay, you know, to have that endurance in the faith. He talks about being, as we talk about this idea of being imitators of Christ, what do imitators of Christ do? Well, we turn to God from idols, right? We turn to God when things get tough. And so the Thessalonians made that choice, right? Serve the true living God. And so what's the application question here? So true conversion involves a decisive turning away from everything that competes with God in our lives, right? So only you can answer that question. What are the things that compete with God in our lives? And so a decisive turning away, another word for that is repentance, right? It's a 180 degree change in direction. It's a turning away. And so as you meditate on this chapter, what are the things today that compete with for God's attention in our lives? What are the things that might be a stumbling block to you or stumbling block to others? And then finally, he goes on to talk about the hope we have in Christ's return, right? Paul reminds them, he says, well, they themselves report the kind of reception you gave us. So the way they were treated was evident. And then he says, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And here it is, and to wait for his son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So in this final verse, Paul is reminding them that to have a kingdom mindset, right? That everything that's happening right now is it's a very short moment in time compared to our hope and for eternity, right? So heaven is forever, but this present life or suffering, whatever it is just a small moment in time. And he says, have a kingdom mindset, right? Have eager expectation for Christ's return. And so they are commanded For waiting for Jesus, who rescues us, as he says in this letter, from the coming wrath, right? We live with the hope of Christ's return, which should shape how we live today, right? So, knowing that Christ will return one day, we should be actively doing everything we can to move the gospel forward, to build the kingdom of God, to invest in the kingdom of God, right? And to do it with endurance and an eternity mindset. So that eternity mindset should shape how we do our lives, right? Knowing that everything we're doing is for the hope of glory. It should put things in perspective, right? In terms of our present suffering versus the hope of eternity, where there is no suffering, right? Where there is, and we become new creations. So, to summarize, our community is important, right? We should do life in community. Gratitude is also important as we kind of prop each other up, as we lift each other up, as we help each other walk through trials, tribulation, a reminder that we are chosen. And because we are chosen, we are to be imitators of Christ. And because of Christ, we have that hope of his return, the hope of glory. So let me just go back, just looking at the chat there to see what you guys are up to. Looks good. Yep, eternal perspective, right? This is what it's all about. So thank you, everyone, for jumping in this morning. Let me pray, and we will get on with our day. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Father, there's such richness to be gained, and that, Father, we need to live our lives filled with faith and endurance and hope and gratitude and thankfulness. And Father, even in when things are tough, that we do everything with an eternity mindset, remembering that this temporal life will pass away and all things will be made new. So Father, I pray for each one that's on, that you would allow us today to just live a life that shows others who you are, a life that inspires, a life that lifts up. And even when things are hard, Father, we know that you're with us. So Father, we commit this day to you. We thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.